White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 484.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello, and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with TheWarEagleReader.com, and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we got delayed by a day or so because I've had all kind of weird things happening down here in the basement. We had a power outage. I've had a flood. I had a leak. The flood was separate from the leak that you know about, so... We've had some weird times down here this summer, but in the palatial White Rocket Studios. But
any locusts in the basement?
That's next. We have a lot of centipedes, honestly. I don't get locusts. I get centipedes. I think they're in Leviticus somewhere, the whole centipede thing. That was the 11th plague. But anyway, we're back and on a rare Tuesday night instead of Monday night. But I think in some ways it kind of worked out because we know a little bit more than we knew last night. So,
yes,
you had a note here, and I'll let you say more about it. But for a number of reasons, August is normally a favorite month of both of us. So what are you thinking about August now? I mean,
it's tough. I mean, August is one of my favorite months because I know college football is coming. I get the preview magazines. I think a lot about college football. I think about Auburn's team and the schedule and what kind of things might happen. And I think about the other teams and the strengths and weaknesses and schedules and all that kind of stuff and which games I want to watch and look forward to things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And try to get things done and out of the way before football season starts. And now I'm not a happy looking forward time because I'm not positive it's going to happen or that it's going to be like we want it to be. So,
no kidding.
What about you?
Well, yeah, I mean, August is, this is my favorite time of the year because all of my favorite holidays, secular holidays are coming up. This is normally when I'd be getting ready to go to Dragon Con, which is 5 insane days with my 85,000 closest friends that don't wear Auburn, although a lot of them are Auburn fans, but that aren't Auburn, It's where I see 85,000 friends that are not Auburn, necessarily Auburn fans and hang out with them for 5 days. And I'd also be getting ready for the big IndyCar race here and getting ready for fall semester to start and see all the new students in class and be getting ready for football season. And all those things are kind of up in the air or already dead. There's no Dragon Con. I've been recording video panels for the last couple of weeks for that, which is neat because I'm getting to do some stuff I wouldn't have necessarily gotten to do at Dragon Con, but it's still not the same as just getting to hang out with your friends and be there. That sucks. And then the race, this is the weird thing. We actually got two races instead of one because of COVID. Because so many other places have had to cancel their IndyCar races, they just put two at Gateway up at Granite City. I already had tickets to one of them, and they are like, do you want tickets to the other one? And I'm like, no. I'm scared to go to this one. I sure don't want to go to two and double my risk and pay a whole bunch more money. So I'm just going to go to one, I think. But I will try. I'll wear my mask, and not touch anything and sit very far away from anybody else. So it'll be just slightly different from actually sitting in my living room and watching on TV. But, this is the time of the year that I look forward to probably the most out of everything because there's so many cool things going on. And it's still warm outside, unlike like Christmas and New Year's and all. So, it's just depressing and it kind of sucks. But I guess, I said on Twitter the other day that I will always look back at April of 2020 as the month that I worked from the basement, shaved my own head, and ate a box of 72 potatoes. And so I'm not doing that anymore, so that's probably good.
That's fair. That's good, Progress.
Yeah, progress, exactly. I lost a few pounds since April. I had that 15-pound COVID packing on, you know, like the freshman 15. So whatever are we going to do? I guess we're going to somebody said, well, you'll have to, this fall, you guys, you and John will have to, like, come up with new things to do. I said, we've been coming up with new things to do on the show since March. This isn't new. we've done all kinds of stuff. So we got to get into the whole will we have football conversation and what we think about it. And I know that you and I never get political about it all, and that's not the point here. We're just going to talk about football itself and, you know, what its likelihood is, I guess, and just sort of how things look, right?
Yeah, and then after that, we're going to go into the SEC scheduling thing.
Yeah.
I have a few thoughts about that, which would be the funner portion of the program.
So assuming that we do have SEC football, and as of right now, we do. It hadn't changed.
And I want to be clear. Whether we have football or not, that scheduling decision deserves some ranting. Okay.
So yeah. Well, my ranting isn't so much about the scheduling decision as some of the reaction to it, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, the weird thing about it is that, these are the two things I thought were kind of amusing this afternoon. One was when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 this afternoon announced they were not going to play this fall, and they said, you know, we're hoping for spring, and I'm like, well, then you're hoping for aliens to land, you know, because that ain't going to happen. There's less, in my opinion, there's more likelihood they change their mind and go back to playing in fall again than they get to play in the spring. It just, I don't know. Maybe the Big Ten will do some weird little thing and we'll get to have college football for like 8 straight months. That'd be, you know, this could be a blessing in disguise if you look at it the right way. We could have like an entire SEC, Big 12, ACC schedule and then have Christmas and New Year's and then have an entire Big Ten, Pac-12 schedule. I wouldn't object to that.
And then we come back in the fall 2021.
Absolutely. I'm talking myself into liking this. I didn't expect that when I sat down here to be like, let me tell you why this is a good thing. But you know what? I'm talking myself into liking this. But I thought it was funny that when they announced that, immediately the SEC, not Slive, but who's our new one? I'm still living in the past.
Sankey,
yeah. He comes out with a written statement that says, I look forward to learning more about this evidence that our colleagues in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten have seen that made them want to shut it down, because basically we're full speed ahead. I just thought it was funny how they phrase it real diplomatically, you know. But he's like, you know, we want to see what it is they're seeing because we don't see that right now. And so that was kind of funny. And then immediately Nebraska's like, wait a minute, what? Can we join the SEC? I love it. I said on Twitter, I said Nebraska's going to jump out, going to secede from the Big Ten faster than South Carolina seceded from the Union in 1861. What do you think's going to happen? Let's kind of walk our way through it.
So again, as you said, the Big Ten and it's Tuesday night. The Big Ten and the Pac-12, you know,
most
through
predictable
fall season. This afternoon.
Yep.
The Big 12 came out and said they're moving forward for now. They're releasing their schedule. So they're planning to try to go forward. So it's them, the ACC, and the SEC at this point.
Well, the Big 12 is going to do whatever the SEC does. They're a subsidiary. They're like our minor league.
I don't know. I think there was a real chance that they were going to cancel today. And if that had happened, the pressure on the SEC and ACC would have been huge.
Yeah.
So I think it's big that the Big 12 doesn't cancel. Again, I'm skeptical. I think the SEC is making a smart decision to just try to wait, right?
Mm-hmm.
In their mind, again, this is in their mind, they don't have to rush the decision. They can wait and make it in a couple weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's part of why they set the schedule the way they did. This is all playing right into their plan.
Because they're, again, the first SEC game is not, under the new schedule, it's not supposed to happen until the end of...
like September 26th or something like that.
Yeah, late September, last weekend of September.
Yeah.
So it's like almost 2 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
So things could change. Things could look different than they do now. So we'll see. They're going to, you know, try and and hold out and then be hope they can go. So we should have done this every episode, but it was too depressing to do it. But I want to ask you this question: what percentage chance that the SEC starts the season, and then what percentage chance that we end the season on schedule, and what percentage chance that there are postseason games, the playoff?
Well, have they even discussed any postseason games yet?
Again, no postseason games have canceled yet. They're all on the table.
So who's going to play in the Rose Bowl? Who's going to play in the Rose Bowl? This is going to be one of those years where you get like Baylor and Georgia Tech in the Rose Bowl. Because I don't see any Pac-12. In fact, another thing I said on Twitter today was I said, so the SEC is going to decide who wins the SEC and then sit around for 6 months waiting on the Big Ten and the Pac-12 to decide who gets to be in the playoffs with them.
No, we'll have the playoff without them if they have it.
And they'll have their own playoff. Ha! How you like that?
But so again, what I want to assign some percentages to this. What percentage chance today do you think the SEC starts the season?
Well, let me tell you this idea. If the SEC cancels, and then on the day that the season was supposed to start, Alabama announces they're playing their season after all, announces everybody on their schedule has canceled, declare every game a forfeit, and they're 10-0, and they declare themselves national champions.
Yeah, that'll happen.
That's their MO, man. That's more realistic than losing to Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, declaring yourself national champions, as they've done. Okay, so what percentage chance that we start the season on time in the SEC on September 26th? I'm going to say 50-50. What do you say?
I'm going to say 30%.
Wow, okay. I thought I was being pessimistic. I started to go higher than that, but I thought, something could still... I feel like if we can get through the next couple of days when other conferences are actively announcing that they're not, you know, then they're actually doing something. If we can just get this into a dead period for a few weeks, then, you know what I mean? Just get it off the front burner.
Well, again, I don't think that's the big barrier. The big barrier, I think, is when students all come back on campus, which, again, they're moving in at Auburn this week. They're moving in a lot of colleges this week, next week.
Right.
I think if we see a big spike in cases, you know, at the end of this month, as all those students are back on campus, I think that's going to be the, you know.
Yeah. And we'll get into some of
peak. So I think that's the big thing.
We'll get into some of the reasons for that, yeah, in just a little bit. That's part two, I guess. But, yeah, my college where I teach, we are going to be back face-to-face teaching Monday. So, yeah. But then on the other hand, Mira's school just decided, their board just decided last night to take the first month only online after they were planning on being face-to-face 2 days a week. So it's all in just such flux. That's what I'm saying is that right now, like this week, is the most influx period of time we've had since March.
It's very true.
And if we can just get through this week and next week and things settle down again, you know, then I think there won't be so many big, dramatic, drastic announcements and decisions and mind changing and everything. That's all I mean is let's get through the period of everybody going, what should we do? And just get into some calm period for a little while. They could still cancel later, but I just want to, you know, it's kind of like we're walking through the front edge of the minefield. I just want to get past those first few mines without blowing up, and then we can worry about, you know, the rest of them. So, all right, so you say what percentage chance that we end the season on schedule?
Yes.
Okay, you take this one first, and I'll go second this time.
Again, I just think, like, I'm reading stuff, looking at stuff. I think there's going to be more stuff later in the fall. So, I think that I'll say 15%.
Yeah, I was thinking 20. I think that even if they play some games, I think it's still going to get screwed up a little bit. I'll be surprised if they play more than 8 games.
Yeah, again, if they play, there'll be forfeits, there'll be cancellations, there'll be
that. It's just going to be a cluster, absolutely. And think about this. I mean, to me, this really shows how the thinking on it has changed. because the outbreak wasn't that severe in early mid-March, and yet after two basketball games, they canceled the entire SEC basketball tournament and the NCAA basketball tournament. And yet things are so much worse now, and yet here we are going, we could play football.
But again, it's... We didn't know anything then. And
right.
And we know some now. We don't know everything we need to know. We know a lot more now than we did then. And we're talking about outdoor events versus indoor events.
Right.
Maybe crowd.
I feel like what we've discussed, I think we've discovered two things about this virus that we didn't really know back in March. I think it's more communicable and faster spreading than we thought. But I think it's not as hazardous in general as we thought. Now, I know it's people are going to write in and everything. I know it's going up on 200,000 dead people. I know that's terrible. I'm just saying, I think that as horrible as it has been, as it continues to be, I think that there were some people thinking we'd be at 500,000 or 1,000,000 now. And so there's nothing good about 160 something thousand Americans dead. Nothing. But I think that it has turned out to be, I think that it has turned out to hurt people more that already have like pre-existing conditions. Whereas other people, it's just a really bad illness. And that's not good. And that's horrible for the people that have those conditions. You don't want to take it to grandma or anything. Absolutely. But I feel like the two things we know about it now that we didn't know for sure back then is that it sure spreads like wildfire, but it really seems to mostly kill people that already have some kind of issues. Unfortunately, I got a lot of issues, so I'm worried to death about it. Does that seem fair to you? Or am I don't want to, the last thing I want to do is downplay anything. So don't get me wrong.
No, but I would say, again, I think we don't know a lot. And I think, there are healthy people that are being hospitalized and dying. And
that's true.
There are healthy people who are getting long-term health effects, who are having this virus impact their health for months.
Yes, that's true, yeah. The stuff it's not just that you drop dead. It's the stuff that can hurt you later on, too. And I feel like that's something that's missing from a lot of the conversation about the football players. You know, there are people that are saying, oh, they can play because they're young and healthy. If they get it, they'll just laugh it off, you know, shake it off. But it's not just the immediate effects. It's what comes later on that you have to worry about, you know. So anyway, okay, you had a third percentage question.
No, it was about the postseason. Wait.
Oh, well, I 0.3%
that we're in that ballpark. I just think, like, if we got some games, we should all be joyously thankful.
Have they announced the actual dates for any games yet for the SEC?
No.
Okay, because my thinking is the Iron Bowl should be like game 2 or 3. Now, I know it's probably not going to be, but I just feel like that's, you got to get that in. You don't want it to be first, because that's just weird, and the teams need to get a little working the kinks out a little bit to play that game. But I just feel like they need to make that like game number 3, so that if we only get to play 3 or 4 games, we at least played the Iron Bowl.
All right.
The
ACC did release their schedule, and like the UVA Tech game is second.
Yeah. Yeah. See, if we end up playing 4 games and then they cancel the season, and those 4 games are like Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Kentucky, and, you know, Georgia or whatever. Well, Georgia's good, but we'll be 3-1, but but I mean,
I would say instead of Georgia, it was Texas A&M or
I'm just like, let's get the good stuff in. It's like if you know you've got an hour and a half for dinner, you can take your time working your way through the courses. But if you got 10 minutes to eat, you go get the turkey, the dressing, the banana pudding. You know what I mean?
If you're a fireman and the alarm might go off, you grab the good stuff and start eating.
Yes, you grab the good stuff. You don't start with the salad. You don't start with a little light salad, man. You go for the proteins and the big heavy carb sides. That's what you go for. And that's the Iron Bowl. That's Georgia, LSU. I don't want to play LSU, Georgia, Alabama, and then that'd be our entire season, because that would not that would be a little nerve-wracking. Got to have your white meat. You can't have all tough birds. Got to have a little treat. But so anyway, Okay, so what's been going on most recently that we need to talk about? You said we talked about the Pac-10 and the Big Ten, and that was the most predictable thing in the world. I told my wife like a week ago, I said, you watch. I said, if anybody shuts it down, I said the first to go will be the Pac-12 because they're the Pac-12, and the second to go will be the Big Ten because the Big Ten thinks that they are the SEC in sports and the Ivy League and everything else, right? They're the most schizophrenic conference. The Big Ten wants to be the big hulking tough guy who also has a 4.0 in trigonometry and physics, right? That's what the Big Ten styles themselves as. And so even though their players and their coaches and their fans might want to play the Ivy League half of the – they are really Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know. They're Dr. Harvard and Mr. SEC. And the Dr. Harvard side of them is going to say shut it down. And that's exactly what happened. So what's happened – what do you think – I mean – who would be the next to go? The Big 12, ACC, SEC? Are we going to be last?
Again, the SEC is going to wait as long as they possibly can. They're not going to rush to a decision. They're going to wait every second they can. I think the Big 12 is the one that's on the fence right now, and I think they almost called it today. I think there was multiple votes, and they thought about canceling the season today. They really talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Nebraska will play in the Big 12 or whatever? Huh?
No.
Well, they're talking about it.
Okay. I'm talking about, moving to another planet. They have legal agreements with the Big Ten, whether the Big Ten plays sports or not. The Big Ten owns their TV rights. The Big 12 doesn't like them because the Nebraska abandoned them to go to the Big Ten. Why would they help Nebraska?
I bet half the Big 12 athletic directors that voted to play are like, they just did it to stick it to Nebraska.
we're playing in Nebraska's
now. How you like it now in the Big Ten, Nebraska? How you liking it? Nebraska's like, son of a... Okay, what's going on with the players? I think this really starts to cut now to a whole other layer that maybe not everybody's thinking about.
So, again, this is the other piece of this, right? So the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are... they shut it down. But the other piece of this is that we could have college football. They could do it, but it would require them to do away with the old school model of amateurism and treat the players differently, put them in a bubble, spend a bunch of money. We know that would work. You could do that. You could take some football teams, put them in a bubble, play the games, have the players go to class online or whatever. And do it. But because you're not doing that for other students, you can't do that. It's an impermissible benefit. And so this is one of the things that this crisis really came up against is they could save college football and have college football if they were willing to do away with some of this, the old school amateurism thing. And I think a lot of the players, were concerned about the health effects of the virus and about what they were being asked to do, and they had said, hey, we want some health coverage for this, and if there are any long-term health effects, we want you to cover it. If we play college football this year, we come on campus and do this stuff. And so one of the things that happened this weekend, I don't know if you noticed this or not, so they had this big movement like Saturday and Sunday where a bunch of college football players were tweeting at this hashtag, we want to play, okay? And it got a bunch of media people, again, many of whom are not on the side of we should pay the players and all that kind of stuff, pushing this out. It's like, see, the players want to play. Get out of the way. Just let them do it, right? But what they did is Trevor Lawrence and a couple of his teammates at Clemson organized a call with leaders of a bunch of other teams around the country, and they all got together and came up with a list of consistent kind of demands, basically, that they want to see happen. And then one of the guys was like a graphic design student at Washington State, and he did a little, logo thing. And then they turned around and tweeted that out with the We Want to Play hashtag. And so it was this kind of social media judo move that Trevor Lawrence and then pulled on people, where they got everybody saying like, yeah, they want to play, retweet those people. But in reality, they turned it into this kind of players' rights thing, where they should spend some of the money of football taking care of the players. And the very first domain was kind of, you know, health, basically like healthcare coverage and testing, and covering the long-term health effects for this. But there was also some other stuff that, you know, that players wanted to see happen. And so it really, and then the, you know, the bottom one was that they're going to make a national, you know, athletic association of the athletes to negotiate this stuff with the colleges and universities and the conferences. And it's not just football players, it's athletes in all sports. And so part of their demands were about not cutting other sports. So it was a, that was the big thing that happened, but a lot of it is about this, you know, kind of the amateurism model, and we can't treat them differently, we can't ask them to do stuff, and, you know, but you could, but we just don't because, you know, they're amateurs under this, you know, whatever, 100-year-old Olympic model or whatever. It's instead of the world that we live in now.
So that really does bring up whole new areas into it that, that I guess some conferences and schools don't even want to think about, and others are wanting to push away as long as they can. But it's, I guess, you know, it's kind of like they say, don't waste a crisis. So they're looking at this as, you know, you got college athletics as much over a barrel as you're ever likely to have them, right?
Sure.
So if you're going to go for something, this is when you do it.
Yes. I mean, they need the players to play. They need the players' willingness to play to be part of this. And the players want to play. But it's also the players are like, you're asking us to do this to pay for all these other things at the university. You should take care of these things that, that we're asking for.
So. It's interesting. It really is. It's fascinating how it's so many things all this like this swirling nexus of these different big things coming together.
And the other big thing that's in that swirl that people don't talk about is liability.
Right.
And this
Go
is
ahead.
The one that I think people don't understand. Like,
if
somebody gets sick, if they go hospitalized, if they died, you know, what if, you know, there was confirmed spread from one team to another and then players got seriously ill? What if, you know, there was spread from one team to another and then it spread back onto the campus where they were from? And regular students got sick from that. Well, then those students getting sick is a result of the football being played, right? We have the ability to trace this kind of thing. So it's that, but it's also, what if college football players get sick from being on campus and doing the things they need to do, the working out and all that kind of stuff, and they pick it up from one another or whoever? And the end result is that they have some long-term health effects. Like, what's the college's liability in those cases? And I think that word, that concept, is part of what happened to the Big Ten and the Pac-12 today. I think they're thinking about that, like, the scenarios where things are now don't allow them to operate the way they would like to be able to play football. And again, we can talk about, there's some other pieces there, but so if I'm going to ask you, you were talking earlier about talking yourself into a spring football. If the SEC said tomorrow, we're not playing, but we're going to play in the spring, how would you feel about that?
So everything I've read about playing in the spring indicates it's just very, very difficult to do that. I think, like I said, I think it's more likely that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 change their mind and play in the fall than that they actually are able to play in the spring. I'd like to see it again, but there's just so many factors in the spring. There's other sports, including basketball, going on. There's players graduating or going pro or not wanting to, the NFL draft is going on, not wanting to still be playing come summer, you know, when the pro season starts in a couple of months. And there's just a whole lot of reasons. There's a bunch I'm forgetting, but there's a whole lot of reasons why it just sounds like college football can't really, I mean, maybe like a Division II or Division III type program could do it, but the Power Five, I mean, do you see any way they can play in the spring?
Actually, I do. I think it could work. I think it's crazy, and it can't be a forever thing.
It's so crazy, it could actually work.
Yes. We're not going to talk about politics. But down the road in the United States, the possibility exists for us to have much more testing available that is a faster turnaround than exists now. One of the big challenges for all the sports that are trying to play right now is the fact that a lot of the tests take days to get back, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are tests that are coming onto the market at different places, antigen tests and other things that have, that are like the rapid flu test thing where you can get an answer in 15 minutes.
That'd be great.
And again, that's not going to happen everywhere tomorrow, but 6 months from now, that could be in every doctor's office in America. And drugstores and, you know, public places you could walk up and get tested rapidly. So I think if we get to a place where that's happening, and that combined, I think there's going to be a vaccine in 2021. I think it's going to be being distributed. So I think those two things, to me, make, it's not insane that we could play in the spring. There's all these other things you point out that are legitimately true things. Like, I think anybody who's a serious NFL prospect would sit out. And then you got the guys that would have played high school football this fall showing up. So you're going to have a whole bunch of weird roster things. And, or guys who are in the Big Ten or the Pac-12 going to all transfer or something. I don't know. But I think it's at least interesting to think about. And I think the bonkers, batshit crazy thing is the Big Ten today said, yeah, I guess we'll start doing some research about spring as an option. Like, it started in March. You didn't grab one guy and said, you do all the spring scenarios and put them in a folder and bring it to us. You know what I'm saying? They literally said today, I guess we'll start thinking about it.
Good grief.
So,
great day in the morning.
All right, so let's talk about actual football.
Okay.
Actual SEC
football. Let's do it.
So, on Friday, in a bizarre Friday news dump, the SEC announced the two additional opponents that each team will play because we're playing a 10-game conference-only schedule, and we only had 8 opponents to that point. So they needed 2 additional conference opponents, and there was big drama and a release on the SEC network. And so we wanted to talk about, what happened there, and we have some rants about that.
Well, first, it's clear that what they didn't do, they didn't take the next 2 out-of-division opponents, because our next out-of-division opponent after South Carolina would have been Missouri, and we're not playing Missouri, we're playing Tennessee. So they took the pointing out of discrepancies to heart. Okay.
Well, you're making a very good point here, because there was a schedule, and here's the teams you were supposed to play next on your schedule, right? So it makes sense that would be the 2 teams you would add. And why would you go away from that, man?
Because somebody complained about it. Because there was a sense that a contender was getting too many hard teams put on, and you should really save the extra hard teams for the team that has no chance of winning anything anyway. Why would they care? They're not going to object because they're not going to win anything anyway. You give the bad cereal to Mikey, John. He won't eat it. He hates everything.
And then there was some talking points about they were trying to even things out.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that, I mean, I guess it was it Florida that was saying they didn't want to have, because they already play LSU, and I guess they were playing Alabama this year finally, and they played.
They would have added Alabama under the rotation.
Okay, because they already play LSU in Georgia, and they didn't want to play Alabama too, and they complained about it, and so instead they got somebody else, and Arkansas got all the hard teams.
So literally, one of the changes was that, Florida would have played Alabama because that's one of their next teams to rotate on.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, Alabama got 2 easier teams and Florida got Arkansas. So,
wasn't Florida on Alabama's schedule this year?
No, Georgia's on Alabama's schedule this year.
That's right. I knew Georgia. I knew Alabama was playing somebody out of the East that they cleverly never play. We cleverly never play Missouri. They cleverly never play Georgia or Florida, because that makes sense somehow.
Well, and again, Georgia said Georgia got Arkansas, Mississippi State.
Jeez. Must be nice. Mm-hmm. Must be nice. So, should I say what I was saying about Arkansas?
Yeah, go.
All right. So I fired up Twitter the morning that all broke, and the first thing I see is 50,000 Arkansas fans, which is, I think, pretty much what they've got. Every freaking Arkansas fan saying things like, this schedule is the hardest. That's like what their AD actually stated in a press release. This schedule is the hardest schedule in the history of college football, is what he said. And there was one Arkansas guy saying, we must boycott the SEC because of this schedule. And they were just in full meltdown mode about this god-awful schedule that Arkansas suddenly has to play. And so I thought, my goodness, how did they get, you know, Texas and you know, how did they get Ohio State and Clemson put on their schedule? That's interesting. And so I went and looked at Arkansas' schedule, and it is virtually identical to Auburn's schedule last year, with the only exceptions other than, you know, there's 10 games instead of 12, so they don't play Tulane or, you know, Samford or whoever. But other than that, if you toss out the two games that we played, cupcakes, that just aren't even on anybody's schedule this year, they play the exact same schedule we played last year, but they also play us, whereas we played Oregon. So it's basically the same thing. If you want to say that Oregon, you know, Oregon this last year and Auburn this year are probably roughly equal, they're about, we beat them, we beat Oregon. So then basically Arkansas was wanting to boycott the SEC for having to play Auburn's 2019 schedule. This just shows you what people around the SEC, they don't understand. You know what I mean? They hear us talk about our schedule being so hard. And you remember, those of you listeners that were listening, you know, a few months ago, you know, I said last summer, a year ago, I said that I wasn't convinced Auburn's 2019 schedule was even the hardest schedule in the SEC. I thought Texas A&M and South Carolina could make really good arguments that their schedules were both hard, marginally harder than ours.
Yep.
So it's this hyperbole that they suddenly have to play a schedule that Auburn or Texas A&M or South Carolina had to play, more or less, and all of a sudden, oh, it's the hardest schedule in the history of college football. I'm just like, give me a break. So, you know, there you go. But what did you think about that, about Arkansas reaction?
I thought the Arkansas reaction was, you know, like you said, a little over the top. But it's also a reaction based on, I think that, again, people haven't fully digested this yet. There are no cupcake games. It's a 10-game conference schedule. Arkansas is going to go 0-10.
Yes, exactly.
Okay? You know, whatever the bottom, there's going to be SEC teams that are 0-10, 1-9, 2-8. That's going to happen. So, you know, my only hope is that Arkansas was like, yeah, okay, give us Georgia and Florida, but you got to do something for us down the road in some other, you know, in basketball or something else.
Some kind of quid pro quo. You know, the 2012 Auburn team with this schedule would be 0-10.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
So, I think this is another case of the SEC taking care of Alabama. I mean, I think they were looking at it like, we got, you know, they're worried they would have too many tough games. And so they took Florida off the schedule and gave them an easier opponent. And I think it's a bunch of crap. I mean, I think that we have, you know, the next two teams you're supposed to play, and that went completely out the window because people were concerned about Georgia's schedule and Alabama's schedule. Georgia, again, got the two easiest teams in the East, in the West, on their added to their schedule. You know,
unbelievable.
This year more than ever, it's a gigantic difference being in the East.
Yes. Unbelievable.
And so if you get, again, if you're playing bottom teams in the West, if you're playing Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss, you know, you're at a gigantic advantage to other teams in the East.
Absolutely.
So that's the part where I'm like, you know.
So Auburn plays the other six West teams and the two East teams we were already going to play, which were Kentucky and
Georgia.
Georgia, of course.
Kentucky at home and Georgia on the road.
And then we add Tennessee and South Carolina. Now, some people are very excited to get Tennessee on the schedule because, you know, it's a good name team. It's a team we want some revenge on for last time a couple of years ago. And it's a team that's kind of a traditional rival. It's nice to get to play them more often than once every 6 to 12 years, you know, depending on whether you mean home or away. So what do you think about who we got?
It's fine. Again, like, we got Tennessee. We were supposed to – Tennessee, again, is probably the – whatever, the 7th or 8th best team in the conference. We were supposed to get Missouri, which is the 12th best team in the conference.
Yeah, exactly.
So, again, I think on this level we you know, a little bit, I think we got hosed by this balancing piece of it instead of here's who you're supposed to play, go play him.
Well, when I think Auburn football schedules, I always think, you know, they need to go in and make this harder. Yeah. So, give me a break.
Again, I'm delighted by the concept of getting revenge on Tennessee for that stupid loss. I'd like to go up there and kick their ass again.
Mm-hmm.
So... again, I'm with you. I like playing them. I'd like to play them more often. You know, we just switch to pods, so we can play them every few years. But
I know.
I'm not unhappy about playing Tennessee. I just didn't like the way it worked, and I think that we kind of got hosed on the deal, and some other teams got it easier.
Right.
Again, this is the other point of this. If you really wanted to make it even, you could have blown up all the schedules. You've taken away the two teams you were already playing from the East, blowing up the divisions even, and giving everybody an truly equal schedule. But they didn't want to do that.
If there was ever a chance to blow up the stupid divisions, the divisions need blowing up so bad. We've talked about this week after week.
Well, again, just having the SEC is having no divisions this year.
Right. Why would they?
Again, like, you just throw everybody in the pot and top two teams play. So it would have been fine and a fun year to do that, but this is what the SEC came up with, and so I think later this week probably we'll get the schedule release of the dates of when things will happen. So I look forward to that. But what do you think it means for Auburn?
Well, I think it means that we're looking at a let's just fantasy land assume we play all 10 games because we have no idea what's going to actually happen. But let's just say for the sake of argument, we play all 10 games. It means that we're going to have about, what, 6 pretty hard games and 4 medium games, something like that. Well, depending on how you look at Arkansas, right? So, so we're going to have like 6 really hard games, 3 mediocre games, and 1 relatively easy game. Arkansas gets to be our Samford this year, our Citadel. So, I mean, you know, that's – and I just think that there's so much that we don't know, not even about are we going to play the games, but which players will be available week to week. I mean, what if Bo Nix, you know, comes down with something? Or what if all of our running backs in the running back room all get it at the same time? You know, it's just – this is just going to be a season of like improv, I think. It's just going to be improv every week. We won't for sure know what games are going to be played until they're actually kicking off, and we won't know which players are playing and starting until they're kicking off, and it's just going to be mystery grab bag theater the whole season, if there's a season.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Mystery grab bag theater.
That's it. Yeah. What do you think it means for Auburn beyond that?
Again, there are not a lot of gimmies on the schedule, and I think we need to win these two other teams and these two other games from the East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beat Ole Miss, beat Mississippi State, beat Arkansas, and beat the two new East teams, and you're at least .500.
That's what I'm saying, to beat Kentucky.
If you beat Kentucky, you're 6-4, and then you've just got to find a way to beat you'd like to beat all four, but you got to win at least one or two out of Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and Texas A&M. Surely you can beat Texas A&M, but everybody thinks this is their year for some reason, which I don't understand. We'll let the barbecue talk about that as soon as the schedule comes out.
Venturing into barbecue territory there.
I know. We can't do the barbecue until we have a schedule. It's kind of hard to predict a schedule that you don't have, you know? So I need something printed out.
The schedule will be.
Do what?
We can predict what the schedule will be.
I guess we could. I mean, it's coming to that because it's already now. Well, I mean, if the SEC doesn't even start till September 27th or 26th or whatever, then we may end up doing the barbecue show like the second week of September. How weird would that be? Well, just think about this. Practice is starting tomorrow or today. No, tomorrow. Practice is starting tomorrow or today one for the Indy 500, which is famously held in May. So the Indy 500 is a week and a half from now. That's how strange scheduling for everything is this year. It's so bizarre. All right, well, we've got listener questions and around the SEC before we wrap up. But first, of course, as always, we have to thank the fine members of the Auburn AU Wishbone Patreon family that keep our show on the air. And I'm going to zip through these pretty quickly. Remember, I'm going to keep saying this as long as I have to. If you don't hear your name called now, don't blame us. Talk to Patreon, because all I can do, they've gotten rid of my old list where I could see everybody's name. Now I can just see a little bit of each person's name. And if you're not on this list, then you need to talk to them because they're not showing you to me. I don't know why. So here we go. We have to thank Samuel Salvatore and Christopher Burleson, along with Phil Amthor, Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, William Morgan, Gary Grant, Brian Gray, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Steve Trawick, Logan Chilton, Tom Anderson, Richard Stevens, William Glenn Matthews, Connor Davis, James Greenwell, Emmanuel Seaman, W.D.E. Ritchie, Clinton Stewart, Christopher Stewart, Phil Davis, John Otsuki, Preston Settle, Daniel Odom, AU Falling Up, Kevin Smith, Winston Boddy, Reynolds Wolf, Joel Beckham, David Hegler, Mickey B, Shane Bailey, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Ann Kangian, Clay Henson, George Gaston, Catherine England, John McCune, David Evers, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Steve Harlan, Rich Reimer, Timothy, Chris Hilton, Di Bama. On to the next section. They don't even let me see the whole page at once now. Sarah Hines, Darius Benton, Blake Heron, Kevin Mahan, Stephen Houston, Cato the Barner, Danny Flack, Papa Todd, Kevin Kenoy, Ross Lane, Middleton, Shannon Butson, Hugh Anderson, Rob Morgan, Tony Perry, Alex Wynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Mike Finley, Randall Walker, Russell Millen, Chris Thrash, Earl Rick Spanky, Chris, Jason Albrick, Russell Souther, Paul Bankson, Joseph Iliff, Stephen Wyatt, Matthew Flowers, Auburn Elvis, Robert Drain, Brandon Smith, Royce Alvarez, Trevor Johnson, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Lawrence Kane, Darren Pyle, Chris Camo, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, that's the truth, Ruth, Patrick Williams, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, Brant Rumble, Justin Bean, and finally, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Mick Vigicana, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, plus our one-time and our awesome anonymous donors. We thank you all. Join the family. Be on the ranks, the hallowed halls, the honor roll that I call out of the proud supporters of the AU Wishbone family. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now, oh, you know what? I forgot. We got to do the listener questions. And in order to do listener questions, I have to have access to...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
I don't know, Coach. I don't know. What's in the mailbag?
First comment comes from question comes from Carl Von Drunker on Twitter.
Yes.
Who says, I'd like to know what Arkansas did wrong.
Well, that's a legitimate question, and certainly they would like to know because they really do feel like they're really, you know, being done wrong. But again, I maintain
to spell once and for all with this fiction.
Yeah, I don't, so you know.
So, Ray Laird emailed us at auwishbone@gmail.com, and he suggested that we did these game breakdowns over the last few months and we were filling in for other things to talk about. He suggested he wanted to hear us do the in-detail version of the 1989 Auburn-Alabama.
Yeah, that's good. I will point out that, we'll definitely put that on the list, but I do want to point out that if you want to hear like the talk all around that game, not the breakdown really of the game itself so much, but the talk all around it that we don't really do in those, and how the how it fit into the overall context of the late 80s and the Dye era and all that, go to www.auwishbone.com. And when you go there, scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page, and I have permanent little player links for every episode of We Believed, and it's the one that's 89 through 92, the last brick in our wall, which, by the way, I realize now, and nobody ever corrected me on this, when I called it the last brick in our wall, and I got Reynolds to do the performance of it, and, you know, the audio of it and everything, and it's the last brick in our house. And it was like tearing down the Berlin Wall. And I got my metaphors from Pat Dye mixed together and called it the last brick in our wall. But, you know, it works. It works. So that's fine. We'll just go with it. We'll just go with it.
He's rolling.
Yeah. Go with it. So what are you thinking about doing that 89 game? You up for that?
It's fun. We had a great time, I think, on the We Believed episode, but it was more about the what the game meant. And
yeah.
So I think going into watching the game again and talking about breaking it down could be fun.
That'd be fun. So we'll put that on this because, you know, the way it's going to play out is we'll probably do maybe one or two more like that, depending on what's in the news. Like, for example, we didn't have to do anything like that this week because we had the news about the conferences and everything. And last week, I was in the hospital. That's right. Yeah, week ago was my big return visit to the hospital, my year checkup after my surgery. And by the way, those that don't follow me on Twitter or whatever, everything went really well. It was another horrible, horrible, horrible experience, but it's totally worth it, particularly when they call you up a couple of days later. And my wife nearly fainted because she's like, you know, they said they'd call me in a week, and they called me in 2 days. And she's like, when they call you in 2 days, it's bad. And so when they called in 2 days, she's just like about to faint, and they're like, oh, everything's good. And I'm like, okay. So anyway, that's all good. But yeah, we weren't able to do a show because of that last Monday. So I just went ahead and set up the most recent episode of We Believe so that everybody could hear it. So if you missed that coming out on iTunes or whatever last week, I'll set up the permanent link for it soon. I haven't had a chance, but it's in the current podcast feed from just like last week. It's the great 2.5 hour long, but it's worth every minute, I think, because it covers that 2009 season that was so exciting, and then it covers the Cam in 2010. You get that pretty fun 2011, and then we kind of do the autopsy on 2012. So check that one out. But yeah, let's depending on what comes up in the news, we'll try to get in a couple more, I guess, of our flashback. Because I had fun. I was just sitting, I was sitting there in front of the TV watching the game with the pause button and typing up notes on my iPad.
Yeah. And in a related note, we got an email from Paula Perkins who said, I have to tell you guys how much I enjoyed the latest release of We Believe.
Oh, yes.
There's so much uncertainty about football this year. It was wonderful to relive the 2010 season. Hearing Rod's excitement did make me tear up, but I loved every minute, so thanks for the break from the madness of the world. Here's to college football in 2020. Even if we can't sit in the stands, we could really use a win. She says, stay safe, guys. Love the podcast. Soundboard fan club 100%.
Please clap.
That's awesome. That's great. That is. Oh, and I meant to note that I guess we'll wrap up on a sad note here, that the person responsible for two of the most popular sound clips on the soundboard, and that would be...
Blame yourself.
And
I don't have facts to back this up.
He passed away of COVID. Yeah. So my thoughts are with Herman Cain's family, because he did, you know, everything else aside, his political career aside, he did give us some good laughs with his very humorous quotes that we've used over the years. And he was a very entertaining guy. So that's too bad. Well, any last thoughts?
No, on the transfer front, if you didn't hear, Tua's brother left Alabama and enrolled at Maryland and was immediately declared eligible. So. Yeah, he was. Like, Joey Gatewood's been at Kentucky for 6 months or 8 months or whatever, and they haven't said anything about his eligibility. But Tua's brother transfers. They're like, yeah, you're eligible.
Unbelievable. Yeah, wow. Well, we'll see if anybody's eligible. By the way, the Auburn linebacker.
I should say he transferred to a Big Ten school as immediately eligible. So.
Yeah, oh, that's right. I keep thinking ACC, but yeah, he's immediately eligible to not play. I think I saw a tweet from Justin Field saying, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of jokes this week about Justin Field should transfer back to
transfer.
Virginia.
Has that ever been done? Somebody ever boomeranged like that?
Sure they have.
Well, I thought it was interesting that Chandler Wooten wrote a very eloquent statement about race in America and all that. I applaud him. And then he decided, you know, that with his child on the way and everything, he probably needed to kind of keep away. And so he decided not to play this year and which was perfectly legal to take the red shirt this year. And then when the conferences announced they're not playing, I mean, I'm thinking, man, he may end up being just like the first one to go, but not the only one. They might all, you know. So we really just don't know. We really don't know what's going to happen. And we won't,
if we do play, other players make it, there may be more players opting in.
Yeah, so. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. And John and I will be back probably in a week or so if there's more anything going on. Otherwise, we'll be looking to what other wacky features we can do to entertain everybody as we get closer to maybe a football season. So our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.